Good evening and welcome to this special 60-minute edition of Left, Right and Center with me, Sanket Upadhyay. Two stories that we are going to track right here. Story number one, the government this evening made an announcement that we have certain international commitments as far as vaccines are concerned. We have to deliver them. We're signatories to the COVAX facility, and that's why we have an obligation. So Vaccine Maitri is going to begin again. Remember Vaccine Maitri earlier this year when we started giving vaccines away, which was a very good thing, India helping others, but at the cost of vaccinating its own people. And then the second wave came in, we had to stop it, and we are starting it again in October. The big question is, and we are going to explain this with the help of a very, very easy to understand explainer, can we afford to share? See, one day of 2.5 crore vaccinations done is not enough. So we'll give you the numbers in just a short moment to explain whether we can afford to share or not. It's all nice to help others, but at what cost? That's the important point. Story number two, there is a bit of vaccine racism happening in the United Kingdom, where the same vaccine being made by Europe or being made by the UK is acceptable, different set of rules. But the same composition being manufactured in India by the Serum Institute of India will be treated as unvaccinated in the United Kingdom. And then, of course, the cost that passengers incur, students incur. Why this vaccine racism by the United Kingdom? We're going to put this to a debate as well. Either say it openly, we don't trust your vaccine. Say it so that we know what the UK stands for. Otherwise, why this vaccine racism? So these two stories we are going to track right here. We are starting Vaccine Maitri. But can we afford to export just yet? Can we afford this? Let's take a look at the numbers. So, Vaccine Maitri is resuming from October. As far as our target is concerned, target needed to double vaccinate 60% of the population till the 31st of December. So that the adult population is vaccinated and we can avoid a third wave. So we have to vaccinate 1.23 crore people daily, 1.23 crore doses daily, if we want to double vaccinate 60% of India's population. So till December 31st, India will need 126 crore doses to meet the 60% target. Now obviously there has to be an availability. Only then you'll be able to meet this target. So how much are we producing? And can we afford the luxury of sending it somewhere else? The projected supply, according to the government, till the 31st of December is only 126 crores. The exact amount that we need to populate, to in fact vaccinate and inoculate our population. So the big question is this. Where is the surplus for export? Where is it? Unless, of course, we are deciding to ramp up production so dramatically that there will be ample amount of supply. I want to introduce Dr. Sudarshan Balal, Chairman of Manipal Hospitals, as well as Dr. Chandrakant Laheria, Epidemiologist and Public Health Systems Expert. Dr. Balal, I want to begin with you first. And we also have Dr. S.K. Sareen, Vice Chancellor of ILBS. Thank you very much. Dr. Sareen, let me begin with you first. You know, these numbers very clearly show that as of now, the projection of the projected supply till the 31st is 126 crores. And the total number of people we need to inoculate before the 31st, double vaccinate 60% of our population, is 126 crores. So then where is the surplus?
Well, you have a very valid point, and everyone looks at from that actual numbers, but it's a balancing act. We have a group of fence sitters, we have a group of hardliners who may never get vaccinated. So if that is true, and if that in fact makes 2% or 3%, we will have 2 to 3% of surplus. And also if we are able to, you know, vaccinate 1.23 CRs every day, it will be worthwhile. So I know it's a very important balancing act. But I have a feeling that in next 2 to 3 months, we will have 4 or 5 new vaccines. We will have Zydus, we will have Sputnik Light, we would probably have no vaccine from Serum Institute. So if we add the newcomers and the micro mRNA vaccine from India, I think we may have a surplus. But certainly, we must fulfill our commitments to the countrymen, our people first. And yes, if we have an international obligation like to COVAX or to WHO for our neighboring countries, that should be taken after we have inoculated our people first.
Yes. Dr. Laharia, I want to come to you. Do you feel that if we take the vaccination drive, I won't say lightly, but if it is not done by the 31st of December, what we had initially set out to do, we run a risk of inviting a third wave?
What we need to remember that the situation in India is very different from situation in other countries. In India, the Delta variant came first, and then we are doing vaccination where even a single shot is more valuable than two vaccine shot in other setup. That's one. Second thing is what we need to remember that we might not need the number of doses which you are projecting around 126 crore, because what we need to remember that anybody who is coming for vaccination starting first week of October, if they are getting Covishield vaccine, they would be returning for their second shot only early 2022. So in October onward, only one shot will be given for majority of the people. Of course, the people who are coming for Covaxin will get another month later, but anybody who is getting vaccinated in December, starting 1st December, would be returning for their second shot in January 2022. So the requirement would be very different. What would be the requirement? The October to December, mostly people will get one shot, and people who received their first shot in last 3 months would be returning for second shot. So our need would be very limited, not the entire requirement. No. It is not going to make a lot of difference if people, all entire population is not vaccinated by end of the year, because what we need to remember, we have already achieved around 2/3 of the population with single shot, and more number of people will be coming for second, first shot and second shot. So we are in fairly good condition. The final part is that we are now recognizing, realizing that no country can be safe unless people all across the world are vaccinated. So while we have thought logically for about the country, but it's so very logical, and especially India need to show to the entire world that we think about all other countries. So what India is going to do, resuming vaccine maitri, is the right thing. It will not affect India's vaccine requirement. What I personally following this thing, and I personally see starting mid-October, India would have far more supply than the demand from the population.
Yeah, so that, if that happens, if this projected supply changes or increases dramatically, then it makes sense. Of course, we have an obligation to help. And it is true. I mean, internationally, countries sitting over stockpiles of vaccines need to ensure that everybody is vaccinated, Dr. Bilal. And only then there will be no variant. Otherwise, you can be very happy that you have vaccinated your population, but then along will come another variant from some other country, and then will affect your population as well. So do you think that the key over here is to make sure that the production is ramped up to a point that we can comfortably export?
Good evening, Sanket. Thank you for having me here. I think there are many aspects to the vaccine story, some of which you have already been alluded to. One is the number of people that need to be vaccinated, the figures of which you have given. The vaccine availability also, you have given the numbers. The third is of the capacity to vaccinate. Fortunately for us, in the last month or so, we have been very aggressive in vaccination. We are covering about 20 to 25 crores of vaccines per month. So I think if the vaccine availability is at the pace of 20 to 25 crores a month for the next few days, we need not worry about exporting some vaccine, which is an international commitment. And as was rightly pointed out, I think no one is safe till everyone is safe. So obviously the priority is our citizens. But if we are not able to vaccinate the larger number of population that need to be vaccinated, but we are able to maintain, say, 1 crore vaccines per day, I think we are still on safe grounds and would be able to meet the demands of this country. And I think we have done quite well in the last month or so. I don't think there should be an unnecessary panic about some vaccine doses being exported as a part of our commitment in the international society. But we have to keep a close watch on this. Should not be at the cost of slowing down the vaccination in India, which is unlikely to happen.
Correct. You know, Dr. Bilal, that's exactly our concern. The idea here is not to criticize for the sake of it, but Of course, there is concern that at a time when, and we've seen the worst actually. We started Vaccine Maitri, which was a good initiative, and then the second wave of COVID happened. And then we had to stop that process. So imagine if that dose would have been available, we could have been in a better place. But then again, you know, when you look at the past, you can learn from a lot of the things that we have done. But, you know, Dr. Sarin, do you think that our only hope as of this moment is that this figure of projected supply of 126 crores will dramatically increase and significantly increase for us to be able to do what we are planning?
Well, what I know from my friends, both from Serum Institute and from Bharat Biotech, I know the productions are being ramped up. Serum Institute might go to 20 to 22 crores and maybe Bharat Biotech maybe 5.5 crores or more in October. So if we have 30 crore vaccine dosages and we are giving 1 crore per day, I think we would be able to manage just the numbers that we are going to get. But yes, if we are able to get the additional vaccines, I think Zydus might be available sometimes in mid-October or so. Sputnik 5 is already being biological Evans, the another one which is likely to come sometimes in October. If we have additional vaccines, which I am very hopeful, then I think we would have an elbow to move around. And many, many patients and their relatives are coming from neighboring countries, Nepal, Bhutan, Sri Lanka. And one such variant comes from them. I think we would be in trouble. So I think it is worthwhile that we have a margin at least of 2 weeks available vaccine for every state. Beyond that, if we have additional vaccine, then I think we should be able to give a small amount. Even in early this year, we gave in Vaccine Maitri something like 5.5 crores or so over a long, quarter of this. So over the one quarter now, if we give small dosages in October and maybe as and when we get more in November and December, at least to our neighboring countries and those where there is a need and where people come from, I think we would be in good position. But yes, India first.
Absolutely. And that is the main concern over here. India first. At the same time, do help others. But make sure that your own needs are fulfilled. Thank you very much to Dr. Balal, Dr. Laharia, as well as Dr. Sarin for joining us on part one of this discussion. I would like to now introduce our political panelists because, you know, there are concerns in certain states. The exact same conversation we had earlier this year is being had in the context of Vaccine Maitri again. Mahesh Sharma, leader of the BJP, is with us. We also have Priyanka Chaturvedi, Rajya Sabha MP and leader of the Shiv Sena, Dr. Ajoy Kumar, spokesperson of the Congress Party, and PKD Nambiar is a political analyst, supports the BJP. Priyanka, I would like to begin with you first. Ms. Chaturvedi, do you think that this is the right time for Vaccine Maitri?
I actually quite welcome something like this simply because we have some contractual obligations which we had put on hold because we were busy doing publicity gimmicks at that point in time while we hadn't enough stockpile to ensure all our eligible people who are to get a vaccine were deprived of that. So instead, and we had to have put it on hold. However, we do have contractual obligations. India happens to be a manufacturing hub of vaccines. We have managed to cover a certain percentage of population. We have the health minister saying that they have ramped up the production of COVID vaccines. So I think might as well, it is time that we resume Maitri 2.0 with entire ideas in place, ideas as in having capacities of our own, having stockpiled enough vaccines for a nation, and also ensuring that we are living up to the contractual obligations. What India really needs to worry about is, while we are talking about being a vaccine hub and manufacturing vaccines, unfortunately, countries like UK and several other countries are not even accepting the, the Covishield vaccine, which came out of Oxford itself. So we have USA, which has a travel ban on India. So those and the other vaccine that we have, unfortunately, hasn't yet got the WHO approval. So those are things India needs to work on, and also a reciprocal effect to what we are giving and what we get back in return is something which is very important. What we get back in return would be those travel restrictions taken away and acknowledgement of India's vaccine being vaccines which are keeping the world safe.
Absolutely. You know, it is no one's case here that a Vaccine Maitri should not exist. it's a noble gesture on the part of India in order to put ourselves on the global map as far as, you know, living up to the responsibility of vaccinating the world. But the only point is availability. Mr. Mahesh Verma as well as PKT Nambiar. Mr. Verma, we'll begin with you first. You know, our projected supply till the 31st of December is 126 crores only. Now, unless this dramatically increases, I don't know. And if we are to double vaccinate 60% of India by the 31st of December, we need 126 doses to meet this target. Wo excess hai kahan? Like some doctors are saying it's okay, you know, you can divert a little here or there, but don't you think that an ideal situation for us to restart Maitri would have been when we had doses in excess of our requirement?
Sanket ji, is baat se to aap clear hai na ki jo expert aur doctors ne kahe ki bhai iski zarurat kya hai bahar ke deshon mein bhejne ki, kyunki ye jo pandemic hai ye global pandemic hai. इसमें आपकी बीमारी ये नहीं है कि आप ग्रेटर क्लास में लगवा लिए थे स्टॉप क्लास में लोगों को स्टॉप क्लास में जो लोग हैं उनको नहीं होगा. ये तो जरूरत जो है चाइना से निकल के पूरे विश्व में ये फैला, तो इसकी जरूरत सबको. अब एक बात तो ये हो गई. दूसरी बात कि ये जिस तरह की ये जो कंसर्न है या जिस तरह से लेफ्ट राइट है इस बात को लेकर, इसको कब नहीं कहा गया? जब लगाया गया तो प्रधानमंत्री को ये कहा गया कि पानी लगवा रहे हैं. उसके बाद ये कहा गया कि भाई 31 दिसंबर से पहले आप कैसे इस चीज को, अब आज के डेट में आप 85 करोड़ के आसपास आपने वैक्सीनेशन कंप्लीट कर लिया, जो कि वर्ल्ड में वर्ल्ड कहीं इस चीज के लिए मुरीद हो रहा है. हम सोच रहे हैं कि भाई हमारे पास कुछ है ही नहीं. तो ये वो भारत नहीं है संकेत जी जो प्लेग के लिए जो है किसी के आगे याचना करता था. कनाडा आज के डेट में आपका वेलकम कर रहा है, आपका शुक्रिया अदा कर रहा है, आपका ग्लोबल एक इमेज बन रहा है, उससे आप आर्थिक प्रगति की तरफ जो है एक सस्टेनेबल
हमारे पास कि हम औरों को दे सकें तब
आप उभर के आएंगे.
इन प्रिंसिपल नोबडी इज अपोज्ड टू द आइडिया ऑफ वैक्सीन मैत्री, बट द पॉइंट इज कैन वी अफोर्ड टू डू दिस? आई अंडरस्टैंड वी हैव ऑब्लिगेशंस आल्सो बिकॉज वी आर सिग्नेटरीज टू कोवैक्स. PKT Nambiar, I want to come to you now. Yeah, let me come back.
10 सेकेंड की बात और एक इन्फॉर्मेशन और शेयर कर लूं. WHO ने दो बार इस बारे में इंडिया के साथ मीटिंग करी. अभी पहले उसने जब करी तो हमने ये कह दिया कि पहले हम अपनी चीजों को करेंगे. अभी दो दिन पहले जब उन्होंने कहा तो उसमें उन्होंने WHO ने ही खुद से 10 ऐसे कंट्रीज हैं जो इस लायक हैं, वो लोग भी आगे आ रहे हैं, वो लोग भी दे रहे हैं. हम इस लायक है तभी हम चीज को कर रहे हैं. अगर हम इस लायक नहीं होते तो हम इस चीज को नहीं कर पाते. और जब हम कर रहे हैं तो उससे एक भारत का जो इमेज बन रहा है उसका कहीं फायदा आपको दिखाई दे रहा है या नहीं दे रहा है, ये सवाल है.
ओके, PKT Nambiar, डू यू थिंक, यू नो माय क्वेश्चन रिमेन्स द सेम. नोबडी सीम्स टू कंप्लेन अबाउट द फैक्ट दैट वी वॉन्ट टू हेल्प द वर्ल्ड. इफ एवरीबडी इज वैक्सीनेटेड दैट्स द बेस्ट थिंग टू हैपन. बट the question is on the timing. Is this the right time?
I believe there can't be a better timing. We are, except the China, because Chinese vaccination drive, everybody know that's not a credible vaccination drive or the number which we hear, and nobody believes in the world that what's happening there. Other than China, if you really look at it, 81 crore plus is the vaccination which we have done. That is incredible as a number. I think the world is learning from us that how can producing it, I mean, from research to production to the supply chain management to the last person, 81 crore doses has been done. It's incredible. I think we all as an Indian should be proud of. Now coming to the second part of it. Remember the first wave and the second wave, especially the crucial second wave. The whole world stood by us. From the Middle East to the US to every country was trying to give us oxygen, the different medicines, everything. Today we are all living in a global, it's the world is actually too small sometimes. So in fact, 60 countries across the world do not even have a decent access to the vaccine even today. So unless the country like India, which is a superpowers and the vaccine capital of the world, do not go out and support these people. Of course, in fact, most of us were talking about even in the earlier time that yes, we need to vaccinate our population first before we reach out to the others. But as Priyanka ji said, one is the contractual obligations, what every government would have it. The second part is that we also need to be careful about the other people of this world. And I think at least the people who were really critically helping us at the time when we were badly in need of it. So I think that there can't be a better
timing. I'll tell you another point. Is this under pressure from the United States just ahead of the Prime Minister's visit? Because the US has wanted India to do this. I understand contractual obligation, but the question is timing.
The vaccination.
You ramp up the vaccination production. You know, we'll be, as proud Indians, we'll like the fact that we are exporting it to the world.
Sanket,
but not under some international pressure.
I will tell you, which vaccination, I don't know you have taken, but I have taken Sputnik. So I am a recipient of a foreign vaccination. Mm-hmm. Then if a person in the Middle East or in Africa or in the US is able to get a vaccine of Covaxin or a Covishield, I think there can't be anything better. So, as I said, if I have been able to take a Sputnik, I think it is the right of anybody whomsoever is sitting even in the South Africa or in any of the African countries or those countries, especially the South Asian countries, they do not have any access to the vaccine. 32.5 million people are affected in our neighborhood in the COVID outbreak.
Okay, one moment. Where are they going to get the vaccine from? I want to go back to Mr. Chaturvedi. Mr. Chaturvedi, we ask a lot of questions on the Ku app, and one of the viewers has this very interesting question which I would like to read out for you. He says, is it the right time for resuming the export of the vaccine? Still, most of the people in rural areas are not vaccinated. Don't you think that the government should think more on how to make the vaccination process smoother in rural areas before going for this risky diplomacy? Ms. Chaturvedi, how would you respond?
I wouldn't call this risky diplomacy. I think it would be called responsible diplomacy. What was risky was what happened in the first time round, the 1.0, where we were busy doing PR gimmicks and we were talking about how we were becoming the world leaders, not ensuring that we had enough vaccines back home. Now, yes, the other concern is we are a nation of 1.3 billion people, of about 1 billion people being eligible for these vaccines. Have we managed to store and stockpile enough number of vaccines and build capacities is something for the health minister to answer. And I'm assuming that he is doing it from the point of confidence of having answered that particular problem, that challenge. And that is when they're resuming these vaccines.
No, I'm asking, for instance, in your home state of Maharashtra, do you remember the first time what happened? That
yes.
There was Maitri happening
yes.
And you did not get enough doses. Do you think that
because
this is something which needs to be ensured?
Absolutely. That's what my first opening statement was, that build capacities, have enough vaccines for those who are seeking vaccination and are eligible for vaccines back home, and that there should be no shortage if you have stockpiled enough vaccines. That was my opening statement. And I'm hoping that the vaccine Maitri 2.0, when it begins, it has answered all these questions. We cannot turn our back to the world. And if you said USA is putting pressure on India before the Prime Minister is traveling there, then we should be able to put reverse pressure on US to ensure that there are no travel restrictions for Indian travelers to the US. So these are a few things which have to do with diplomacy. And diplomacy cannot be a one-sided street or one-way street where India continues to do what it has to while depriving its own and not even getting any reciprocal, a response.
Correct.
From various other nations who we are reaching out to.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Mahesh Verma, Priyanka Chaturvedi, as well as Mr. Nambiar for joining us on this discussion. Stopping for a short break at this moment. And on the other side, we'll concentrate on that point that Ms. Chaturvedi mentioned. In the United Kingdom, it's the same vaccine. You know, the AstraZeneca vaccine and the vaccine produced in India called Covishield, it's the same. But there are different set of rules. There's another version of it in Europe. Uses the same combination. But the UK recognizes both those vaccines, not the Indian version. Why is the UK indulging in vaccine racism, we ask? That debate up next. Let's now talk about what the United Kingdom is doing. There are travel restrictions on Indians. when they've been vaccinated using the same vaccine which the British are also using. So we have this version of AstraZeneca vaccine, which is called Covishield. But if you go to the United Kingdom with Covishield, both doses, you shall be treated as unvaccinated. And the rules that are supposed to be implemented on unvaccinated passengers will apply to Indians as well. Whereas if a person who is vaccinated with another variation of AstraZeneca in Europe, if that person were to come into the United Kingdom, then there is a different set of rules. All right, I'd like to introduce K. Sujata Rao, former Secretary of Health in the Government of India. Thank you very much, Mr. Rao, for joining us. And Dr. P.S. Narang, Associate Director of Pediatric at Max Healthcare. Ms. Rao, let me begin with you first. Do you think that this is an ideal situation where the same vaccine being manufactured in the UK and in Europe have a different set of rules, but the same vaccine being manufactured in India is not recognized?
It's totally bizarre, as somebody said, and it's very unreasonable, because as you said, it's the same as the vaccine that has been manufactured in India. I kind of think that it's not racism or discrimination. It's more a market buy. I mean, after all, you know, in a short time, India will have so much stock to export, and they would like that their vaccine has a command over the export market and not India. India's production capacity is so huge and overwhelming. So they would like to bring in as much of a discredit to the Indian vaccine as possible. So I think I see that one, that could be one reason. And the second, that so many Indians are going now to UK, that it's a good market for them. I mean, you have to pay for the hotel, you have to pay for the two vaccines that they have to take. So it's just like the UK, British visa, it's easily one of the most expensive in the country. And they keep, you know, even for a 3 months visit, you have to pay much more than you would have to pay for a visa for any other country. So this is again another way of raising revenues for themselves. I see more of these kind of considerations rather than any racism or any deliberate discrimination. But having said that, there could also be a bit of a credibility issue in the sense, you know, the vaccine policy in India did invite a lot of controversy. And a lot of states, we don't have one, unlike in England, where there's a Public Health England that issues the certificates. Mm-hmm. There's so many authorities giving certificates, and then the certificates have photographs and this and that. So, you know, it kind of makes it seem as if their genuineness could be, I suspect, they keep hearing. I mean, these are excuses. I don't believe them at all. But I'm just saying these are the excuses they would like to offer to say that in India, everything is on sale and you can buy a vaccine certificate and come here. So I think they're tending to mix up issues like this. But I do feel it's more a market supremacy that they want to assert over their own AstraZeneca version and not allow Indian vaccine companies to come up.
Correct. Dr. Gupta, Professor Ravinder Gupta, he's a professor of clinical microbiology at the Department of Medicine, University of Cambridge. Professor Gupta, you know, you've got an AstraZeneca vaccine, you've got the Covishield, and you've got the Vaxzevria. All three absolutely identical, but different rules.
Yes, I agree. There is a serious problem with this differentiation between vaccines that are made in the same method by the UK government. So I think that it's a mistake to be taking this route, and we need a more constructive method of verifying vaccination status in order to facilitate global travel and, of course, economic activity.
Yes, and you know, this point that Ms. Rao was making, Professor Gupta, that that there may be a fear that there is, people not getting vaccinated and also getting their vaccination certificate certain aspersions being cast on the entire process of vaccination in India. Don't you think that in all honesty, the United Kingdom government should spell it out? Say it in as many words. We don't trust your vaccination drive, and that is why we've called you or we treat you as unvaccinated.
Well, I think that, a degree of transparency would be good. In other words, is there a concern about the validity of certification or the process of certification for vaccine status? But these are issues that need to be dealt with on a global scale. And so really, because this problem is not going away. Therefore, maybe something through WHO, a centralized system, could be developed that spans different countries, that has lots numbers of vaccines associated with vaccination status. So I think we can get over this, but I think that it needs a coordinated effort, and I think WHO really should lead on this.
All right. Dr. Narang, there is also this whole issue of how much it costs Indians to go and get quarantined. So they're fully vaccinated, right? They have the certificates, but they'll have to go for a quarantine also. Now, that is expensive. Yeah. Do you remember earlier on, Indian students were being made to pay an exorbitant amount of money for an institutional quarantine, which was very expensive, a huge burden on them, despite the fact that they're fully vaccinated. And also the tests that are being conducted, and now this is the latest information that we are getting, it costs an exorbitant 22,500 rupees, around £222, yeah, to get yourself tested there. The same test in India is for, if you were supposed to get 3 RT-PCR tests for your results, in India it will cost 2,700 rupees. Everything is expensive, and you've forced Indians that, number one, we won't recognize you. Number two, you will have to pay up for all these expensive tests and quarantine also.
Sanket, it's very good you have brought this topic today at this NDTV platform. Actually, I am at the moment in UK, and I came 10 days ago, and I have taken not 3, I have taken 4 tests, one before coming in India, and I have taken 3 tests on day 2, 5 and 8. And today is the 10th day, and although I was able to do home quarantine, but it was expensive to do the test here. The 3 tests has costed me around 20,000. It's not only the test, it's a mental trauma, because 80 crore people in India have been vaccinated, and you cannot say that 80,000 are fake. I mean, there is a genuinity of COVID vaccine produced in India. India is able to export vaccine abroad, and a lot of countries are depending on India for the vaccine. And the whole program is good. And as far as the expenses are concerned, well, countries-wise expenses can be different, but the mental trauma that you need to be at home, or you need to be in a hostel, or you need to be in a hotel, it's something when you are vaccinated is very, very difficult for anybody to digest, because all these vaccines are approved by the European medical agencies, and 12 countries or more than 12 countries in Europe are recognizing our vaccine. So we should be looking at the same treatment in UK as well.
Absolutely. Dr. Narayan, you're the director of Global Health Alliance in the UK. Dr. Narayan, India is the vaccine capital to the world. We manufacture a whole lot of vaccines, right? And it goes out all over the world. With this sort of attitude, are we to assume that if tomorrow the United Kingdom were to need vaccines manufactured by India, they will not go for it because they don't trust them?
Thank you, Sanket, for having me on the show.
My pleasure.
Just like to clarify one thing here. We know, I mean, it is very, very frustrating that whatever we are dealing with at the moment, especially for Indian students who are coming to the UK, that they have to go under quarantine and 2 to 3 tests in the UK. But at the same time, you must understand that UK is again trying to establish and strengthen its relationship with India. India is a very important strategic partner for UK post-Brexit. All the government agencies in the UK government and the universities in the UK, they all want Indian students to come to the UK. So they will never try to do something to dampen that mood, that attitude. And obviously, nothing is being done, especially to target India or Indian students or Indian citizens. I think there are some technical issues. One, that the Serum Institute did not publish their immunogenicity data till 2 to 3 weeks ago. There were some reports in the press in the UK as well that there are some states in India where fake vaccines have been found, fake reports have been found. I'm not saying that the UK government has taken that into consideration, but at the same time, you have to understand that the NHS is under a lot of burden. We are having 40,000 positive cases. Number of deaths have started to go up. Number of admissions have started going up gradually. It is also responsibility of the UK government to take and keep the citizens of UK safe. So possibly there are some technical issues, and I'm very much aware that both the governments are discussing at the foreign ministry level and health ministry level to sort out this issue. And I'm very certain that in the next few days or within next 1 week, they should be sorted.
Yes, Dr. Narayan, you know, to some of your points, I'm sure you're aware that this same vaccine was exported to the UK from India and administered to citizens of the United Kingdom. And now we have a situation where the same United Kingdom, which was happy to vaccinate its own citizens using this Indian vaccine, now does not recognize this Indian vaccine. I mean, it's very, very hard to understand this rule. What is
this? I completely take your point. And for a general public, it is very frustrating to understand that the same vaccine being given in the UK, for example, I possibly got the same vaccine which was made in Serum Institute in India. And if I come to India today, and if I fly back to India, then I won't possibly need to have the PCR test and or to quarantine possibly. But as I said, that there are some technical issues like the bridging data, the immunogenicity data, which was supposed to be published by the Serum Institute, it took a long time.
And so have government spoken about this? Has the United Kingdom expressed this at a diplomatic forum or taken this up with India?
Officially, obviously, it has not happened, because again, if it would have happened officially, it would have come in the news. But I'm aware that there are ongoing discussions between the health and the foreign ministry to sort this out very, very soon.
Sure. Ms. Rao, do you think that the key over here is honesty? For the United Kingdom to say, look, there's some problem that we have from reports, we are not very happy with it. And that is why this is what we are planning to do. You tell me how you can help us fix this. Do this, do that. I mean, with a lack of transparency and an arbitrary decision that Indians will be treated as unvaccinated, it's just uncalled for.
There's so much of double standards in it. Because, you know, yes, that's true that Serum Institute took a long time to publish their bridging study results. But the point here is, the marker is that WHO has given it emergency authorization. And that should be more than adequate. I mean, Covaxin doesn't have a WHO certification, and therefore countries don't recognize that. It's understandable. But this one is approved. Serum is approved. And the serum, if you know, as you saw in the media too, US and UK and Europe are now chasing India to see that we honor their commitment to provide for the Covaxin to the COVAX facility. It is this same vaccine that's going to be provided for the COVAX facility. I mean, India is the biggest provider of that. So, you know, I think the quality is not something they can question. I don't see any reason or any argument, logic argument that they can offer to say why they have debarred and de-recognized this vaccine, except to say that this is just another way of raising their resources by compelling Indians to go through quarantine and taking more of those vaccinations. And somehow or the other, bringing a question on the validity of Indian vaccines.
Yes.
See anything else?
Yes. Dr. Narang, I want to come back to you. You know, number one, this lack of transparency, and number two, this arbitrary decision making. Do you feel that apart from humiliating, the process of, or the vaccination drive, the largest, one of the largest in the world, you're also humiliating and creating hurdles for individuals like you? Say, for instance, if someone were to come into the UK, imagine the hardships, imagine the trouble.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Sanket, that basically all this process of a science, of the process of manufacturing vaccine, it is not just a simple thing. It goes through all paraphernalia. Most of the things are checked at every single level. I mean, not only one, maybe 100 quality controls are done before releasing the vaccine. So they should not be saying that Covishield made in India is anything inferior. I mean, we have had good results and we've taken the vaccine. And I agree, if somebody has to come urgently to UK like this, I mean, my children live here, so it will be a big trouble. I mean, going through all the process again. And we should have some transparency and we should have honesty saying that, I mean, all manufacturing in India is done at a very good level. And I've worked in England as well as worked in India. And I see the stringent rules which were followed at my Max Healthcare for the giving of vaccine. Hmm. So I totally agree that vaccine should be recognized, and person who have taken both the vaccine will promote other persons to take the vaccine anywhere in the world so that the whole travel thing becomes easier and we should live the normal life again as we have been living about 1.5 years ago.
Professor Gupta, if this is a concern that there are some media reports of fake vaccines or fake certificates, do you think that, I'm sure, you know, we all are aware and we can see it right here. If there is an act of corruption, it will be visible and it will be spoken about, however much governments may not like it. But to focus on some isolated case somewhere and make it an issue of national policy for the United Kingdom, that, you know, we have read some report in some little corner of a newspaper and thus we'll declare all Indians unvaccinated. Do you think this is a wise form of going about things?
Yes, I think I agree with that. Using small examples of fake vaccines is not a reason to have such a policy. For example, here in the UK, there are virtually no regulations in terms of mask wearing, etc. If you walk around this country right now, there is uncontrolled transmission in the UK occurring in our schools and in various other parts of the country. And therefore, the whole rationale for control of COVID-19 here is really, there is no clear strategy. And therefore, I think that in travel restrictions based on coronavirus vaccination therefore should reflect what is going on in this country, which is that there is no real strategy.
Right. Thank you very much, Ms. Rao, Dr. Narang, Dr. Narayan, as well as Professor Gupta for joining us. This is a significant discussion because this has, even for those who are not traveling to the United Kingdom, have upset many Indians. You can't do this. It's not right. Thank you very much. That's a end to this edition of Left, Right and Center. News continues on the other side. Stay with us.